This is Bill Bruford, the ever-enthusiastic young drummer from the group Yes, and you're listening to the Yes Music Podcast.
So, in a very sweltering UK and a nice and cool Canada, we're here to discuss what happened when Bill Bruford left Yes for the second time, and Mark is here with me. How are you doing, Mark?
Good. How are you doing, Kevin?
Not too bad at all. All right, so we're doing a lot better than Bill was feeling at the end of the Union tour, I think, because he was just about persuaded to do the final leg of the Japanese leg of the Union tour after those, I don't know how many dates it was. It was dozens and dozens and dozens of dates all around the world. He didn't massively enjoy it. I think he's quoted as saying that he enjoyed playing with musicians that he'd played with previously, but he didn't enjoy playing the actual concerts that much because you know, with those eight characters on the stage, it was never going to be easy, that's for sure. And I've enjoyed reading in Steve Howe's autobiography his comments on the Union tour, and particularly, it's no secret, that he didn't interact very well with Trevor Rabin musically. That's for sure. So, it was an incredibly successful and a wonderful tour. And I know that was your first Yes concert on the Union tour, Mark. But Bill, not terribly, terribly happy. But what did you think of Bill's performance, combining with Alan when you saw that?
I thought it went really well, actually. I mean, they always seemed to be smiling at each other, and especially when they did their little drum duet thing, they were always kind of, laughing at each other if somebody did something that they didn't expect or something.
Yeah.
It genuinely seemed to me like they had a lot of good times on the stage. I mean, a few of the other people in the band, when I've read, said that, the making of the album and the result of the album was just terrible and people want to forget that. But they said that the tour was always fantastically fun. Rick Wakeman was the one who said that it was a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. And for him to say that is quite something, because not necessarily getting on with all those other characters either. And yeah, you mentioned Union itself, and we know that quite a few, if not all, the members of the band who took part in that in varying degrees are unhappy with it. So what I've got is from the Yes Stories book by Tim Morse, Yes in Their Own Words, which is the quotations book, as it were. I've got Bill talking about Union. So here he is in 1994. So this is only a short time after he left. 1992 he left the band. He says, "The only album of my work I actively hate is the Yes Union record. I thought that was a terrible record, absolutely awful, an embarrassing record. It cost way too much money. There was no direction at all. It was just a record company thing where they were screwing the band rotten, all egos colliding. It was the most awful album to make. The lasting problem with all members of Yes is that they tend to listen to the manager and record company too much. They have long ago given up their rights, their self-determination, which is a great shame. In the early days of the band, we did what we wanted, but eventually too much money was consumed and the thing lost its way, and I'm glad that I'm no longer a part of it." So.
Pretty
damning from Bill there. And particularly, I think he was upset because, in the same way Steve Howe talks about being upset, because ABWH were working quite harmoniously on their second album, the ABWH2 album, which was tentatively called Dialogue. And there's that nice story about the Roger Dean logo for that ending up on John Kirkman's Dialogue book of Yes interviews. So, yes, I think Bill was quite looking forward to doing a second ABWH album. And he does talk, quite fondly about that combination of the band, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I know that, Rick said the same thing as well, and it seemed like that group of people were very much excited about moving forward with that. It just seems, though, interesting when you look back at the comments made by the Yes West people. They seem to say that they were brought in because things are not going so great writing wise with ABWH, which seems a little odd to me, because I never suspect that those guys had trouble coming up with music, So, yeah. I mean, especially when you have John Anderson in there, the guy comes up with like 17 ideas in 5 minutes. So yes. I'm sure that they had lots of stuff that they could have worked on. It's It's always funny. I mean, to be a fly on the wall during those times would have been just fantastic.
Mm, absolutely. It certainly would, wouldn't it? Well, I also found a very nice quotation from Bill's autobiography, where he talks about the difference between Yes and the band that he went back to immediately after finishing that Japanese leg of the tour, which was Earthworks, that we're going to be talking about a little bit today, and then listening to the album and talking about it when we get back next time. So he says, by the time Yes had managed to decide what day of the week it was, Earthworks would have considered, deployed, or rejected enough music for a couple of CDs and a BBC broadcast. So, yeah, not only was, you know, he had a hankering, didn't he, from those earliest days when I remember that story about him going to live with Robert Fripp and the two of them, you know, staying up late at night and listening to jazz and talking about jazz and those amazing jazz workout sessions that he had with Yes, or Jazzy anyway, if not actually jazz, in the early days on the first two albums and certainly live. So jazz very much in his soul, in his spirit, I think. Although he did very much enjoy, as we've just said, ABWH and other Yes stuff that he did, and he looks back very fondly. Otherwise, he wouldn't have come down to London and unveiled the plaque and introduced the band at their 50th anniversary and so on. And you know, he was there at the the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So certainly he very much appreciated and was very thankful for his time in Yes. But jazz does seem to be his real love, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty certain that it is. I mean, he even mentions that in those biographies that we refer back to quite frequently, those video ones on DVD, that, you know, he's a jazz drummer who ended up in a rock band, as he put it, right? So, yeah, it's definitely his first love. And I mean, I think that's probably why he looked so forward to going back to doing Earthworks.
Yeah, that's right. And so here's the last word from books. It's Dave Watkinson's fabulous Perpetual Change book. After the Japanese tour ended, a meeting between the group and management in LA came to the conclusion that a lineup of Trevor, John, Tony, Chris, Alan, and Rick was the way forward, leaving Steve Howe and Bill Bruford free to pursue their own ventures. Bill's departure was not surprising. He seemed uncomfortable in the extended lineup near the end of the tour, and his aspirations with Yes were never long term. King Crimson and Earthworks were his real passions. So, yeah, very much what we've just been saying there from Dave. Okay, so let's have a think about it then. Earthworks. So this is, he'd already started this band, Earthworks. They'd done an album, which was actually produced by David Torn of Torn Levin White fame, which is one of my favourite non-Yes albums, actually. So they were very much an item. And this album we're going to talk about today and next time is a live album, actually. And they really did go straight, or Bill went straight from Yes Union to this live album. So let me just give you the dates. So the last concert in the Japan leg of the Union tour was on the 5th of March 1992. They recorded Stamping Ground, that's the live album, on the 14th of March 1992 and the 22nd of May in 1992 as well. So he really did jump straight from that massive tour into this live recording. So it'll be fascinating to see how that goes. So it was recorded in New York and Boston in the US and in Cambridge in the UK. So he certainly was raring to go, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that happens a lot of times. I find that you have people who are in bands, and as it becomes less and less fun or appealing to them musically, when they leave it, they are usually raring to go with an idea that's been probably simmering in their heads for the last couple of weeks before leaving. So it's never a surprise that they come back to something rather quickly and move forward with it with all, you know, engines firing on all pistons, you know. It is interesting, though, that he did do two records, I believe, or three before this one. He did do the self-titled Earthworks record, which I have vinyl copy of. He also did an album called Dig, and he also did All Heaven Broke Loose.
Yeah, that's the one I was referring to. Yeah.
And then he did this one, which is Stamping Ground. Mm. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely something totally different conceptually than anything he did beforehand. I mean, I'm not sure how familiar you are with Earthworks as a band or as a concept.
Completely unfamiliar. Okay, I'm afraid to say.
So I'll just keep it really short, just because. I mean, I haven't, to be honest with you, I haven't listened to this stuff in a long time. And with keeping with our regular routine, I didn't listen to it so that I would come in fresh next week for it. But the whole concept with Earthworks was, as you know, drummers usually are, you know, supposed to do with the rhythm aspect of the music, right? Mm-hmm. So Bill Bruford's idea, since he was using the dreaded Simmons drums at this point, was that he wanted to take the concept of having the drums do all non-rhythm stuff, and he wanted to be responsible for all the melody in Earthworks. Mm-hmm. So if you listen to a lot of the songs that he does, a lot of the stuff that he does is like, like he does all these little melodies on his drums and provides that. And the other people in the band provide more of the rhythmical aspects, like the horns and that kind of make the rhythms, like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like they're the ones who will emphasize the rhythm, and he would do the melody. So it's a complete 180 flip on the head sort of approach.
Mm. Well, that is fascinating. And the lineup for this live album was Bill Bruford, acoustic and electric drums, yes, as you just said, electronic drums, sorry, and percussion, Tim Harries. And when I read his name on acoustic and fretless bass, a twig, that something in my brain went, I know that name. And I couldn't find a great deal about him on the internet, actually. But then I thought, symphonic music of Yes. And I had a look. And yes, indeed, it's the Tim Harries who played bass only a year later, 12th of July 1993 to the 9th of August 1993, on that symphonic music of Yes album. And I did, I have to say, when I was thinking about what Bill had done next, I did wonder if we would have to open up the Symphonic Music of Yes album again, which is definitely not my favourite Yes-related album. But fortunately, he'd managed to do this Earthworks record first, so that was good. Ian Bellamy on soprano, alto and tenor saxophones, Django Bates on keyboards, tenor horn and trumpet. So this is going to be a real departure for me because, as I remember talking to Dylan Howe about this, my knowledge of jazz is pretty much non-existent. So it'll be fantastic to delve into this Earthwork. So let's ask you, Mark, how much do you know about jazz and have you ever played jazz?
Jazz, to me, is probably the weakest part of my playing. Weakest part of my musical knowledge. It's improving because, I mean, you know, there are guitar players who have jazz in them, like Pat Metheny. And, you know, there's also obviously, you know, the Robert Fripps who have elements of it within their music. I would hardly call him a jazz player, but he does have little elements of it within there, right? And, you know, Steve Howe has elements of jazz in there. So I'm very much a novice in the jazz expertise area of things. And that's something I'd like to improve on. So this will definitely help.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've already shown that you know a lot more about Earthworks than I do. So you've got these albums, have you?
Yeah, I mean, I have I'm very pleased to say, a very beautiful promo copy of the first album. And the second one, I believe I have on CD somewhere. I don't believe I have the third one. What was that called? Oh, yeah, All Heaven Broke Loose. And this one, I do have an iTunes version, I believe, on my computer. So,
oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's going to be absolutely fascinating for both of us and quite a direction change, I suppose, for us. Mm-hmm. I suppose, in a way, and I'm showing my total ignorance here, that the sound world of the Steve Howe Trio, at least some of those recordings on that album may point me towards Earthworks, but on the other hand, I could be completely wrong. So very much looking forward to it, and we will talk about it again next time.
Realistically, it is completely night and day. I mean, the Steve Howe Trio is something that I really enjoy. It's very guitar based, very what I expect from jazz, the sort of, you know, do 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 do. Like, it's really like, you know, it can be very uppity and a lot of great guitar tones and stuff like that. But this is like totally like what you would not expect, like a lot of like weird xylophone sounds and trumpets from out of nowhere, and like it's really different.
Okay. That makes it even more tantalizing. So fantastic stuff. So if you don't know this music like me, then do have a listen between now and when we come back with the second part of this What Did They Do Next about Bill Bruford. For the moment, thank you very much indeed, Mark.
You're very welcome, Kevin.
This is Two Pence with Mark Anthony Kay and Kevin Mulrine.
Mark is still with me for a Two Pence. Hello again, Mark.
Hello there, Kevin.
So the Two Pence this time is a really, really positive one. And that is, we seem to be in a golden age of Yes alumni coming up with new music, or retreads of old music. We'll come on to that in a second. So what I was thinking about, Mark, was John Anderson, Thousand Hands. So that's going in for its re-release very soon with some additions, although I don't actually think any new music, but certainly different versions, single versions and those sorts of things. Thousand Hands, which we reviewed quite some time ago now, and it was a very, very nice record. Then we've got Steve Howe, who's just coming out with Love Is, which is a really lovely record as well. And then we had Oliver Wakeman, so another alumnus, who came out with the From a Page, the Yes material from the Benoit David and Oliver Wakeman era of the band, which I absolutely love. Rick Wakeman's new album is fabulous, a real return to form, just amazing. And we had such a lovely time talking to Lee Pomeroy about that. And rumours still abound about a new Yes album itself. But let's talk about those, this golden age of Yes players still being able to, I mean, in the case of Anderson, Howe and Rick Wakeman, still being capable of producing really interesting brand new music. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I mean, some people I'm not so surprised of. I mean, I think this is the 730th album from Rick, probably, yes, that he has in his solo there. But you know, one of the most surprising records in a great way for me. I was so hoping for a progressive rock album from him, and we've gotten it in spades. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, I've always been a big supporter of Rick and his piano playing. I'll still say it's his strongest instrument. So whenever he releases a piano only album, it's nothing terrible by any stretch. I love them as well, but I was really hoping for a, you know, prog heavy, Moog heavy kind of album, and we got that. Then we get Thousand Hands, fantastic. You know, John Anderson is always coming up with stuff, but you know, Steve Howe coming out with a record. I mean, he does come out with records, you know, I wouldn't say as frequently as the others, but when they do come out, they're always good. This new record, I'll go on record to say, from what I have heard, it's a great record. Mm. And I suspect that the rest of it will be probably, you know, even better. And then, I think that we haven't touched upon one thing. Like you were saying that some people are doing like re-releases of stuff. I mean, Trevor Raymond is coming out with something, has come out with something too, right?
Yes, yes. Well, there's that huge box set, isn't there, which he's brought out, and which includes 90124, I was delighted to see, because that's just an amazing piece of Yes history, helping us to piece together the jigsaw pieces of the band. So let's take this in a positive direction for Yes then. So that means that these old timers, that's perhaps we could call them, are perfectly capable of producing interesting, energetic, exciting music. And I think that's my key concern has always been about Heaven and Earth, that it just sounds plodding, it sounds tired. But you don't get that from Howe or Wakeman's new stuff or Anderson's new stuff. So it is possible that we could have an energetic and exciting and interesting new Yes album, surely.
Oh, I have no doubt about that, because, you know, Steve Howe's record, has definitely shown that that is going to be the case. Some strong, strong stuff on there. And Steve Howe seems to be just getting better and better with vocals as well. So that's a great indication as well for the backing vocal and yes. the stuff for Yes.
Yes, of course.
So that's going to be great. But another thing that we haven't touched upon, which I think is extremely exciting, and I'm not sure how much of this you've been following yourself, Kevin, online, but Mr. Billy Sherwood is hard at work with the next Prog Collective album that's supposed to come out. So, of course, you know that that's going to be absolutely fantastic. I have just now... I think I've done it already. If not, I'll be doing it later today. Ordered a vinyl copy of the previous Progressive Collective albums. And those were just incredible. Some of those songs that he's written and, you know, had other prog alumnus play on, they're just fantastic. And it just shows how good a songwriter Billy is. So now we have a hot, you know, all gears firing Steve Howe now that could be writing with a Billy Sherwood, who's always writing some fantastic stuff. So we could get a brilliant Yes album.
Yes, I think we could. And, you know, Jeff Downs is always there. And it strikes me that he contributes to the writing, but he's also the consummate professional in terms of playing other people's music. And if they produce exciting, you know, rhythmic Yes songs with amazing themes, he will put the keyboards to that and you know, in great style. So I think things are looking very positive indeed. But yes, I mean, that's, who would have thought that, you know, this year and last year and the year before, we would have had all these great new albums that we don't feel sort of tentative about saying they're great. We've really enjoyed them and still coming out. The other thing that's coming out, of course, and that'll be fascinating, is supposedly a second Anderson Stolt album. Although that people have reservations about the first one, I know, a bit too much perhaps on the vocal side, but that could be even stronger than the first one. So we really are in a good place. And we know also that Roger Dean, from his videos, is working on two or three different Yes projects. So we're in a good place, aren't we?
I think that we have nothing to complain about as Yes fans. I think we're right now, as you said, in the golden era of Yes releases coming out. I mean, you can hardly keep up now. You know, it's going to be great to be overwhelmed with so much new type of Yes related material. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, well, what do you think about these new releases? Have your say on the show notes for this week on the Yes Music Podcast website. But for the moment, thank you very much indeed, Mark.
You're very welcome, Kevin.